Tomo, and he's in it! Frog splash! Come on, Eddie! Get it, do it! Two! Yes! Eddie Guerrero is champion!
He looked and he thought dead John Hancock on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so now what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, isn't that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that? Is that fake?
Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves, and it has been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.
Hello, everyone. Hello, and welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show. I am your host, Matt Alvarez, broadcasting to you live from San Leandro, California, along with my co-host, Eric Williams, who is broadcasting from somewhere in PA, right, Eric?
What's going on, Matt?
What's going on, man?
Same old.
How was your week?
Good. How about yours?
Mine was good. Just rolling with the punches, you know?
Yeah, I'll do what we gotta do.
That's right, and I understand you made your money this week. Never mind. But, hey, ladies and gentlemen, check this out. Eric Williams, would you like to, in the future, not now, but in the future, would you like to live on a baseball field?
This sounds interesting.
You would have your own apartment on a baseball field, but then there is concern. You never know. You might get a broken window. That is what a minor league baseball team is considering. Lots of things to talk about on the show today. Also, Eric Williams, would you, or look at the chat room is filling up. DDP is in the chat room. What's up, DDP? I'll leave this between you and DDP to decide, since I'm the one asking the question. I'm the one hosting the question. Would either of you two like to have Stephanie McMahon's personal cell phone number?
Well, I guess that's been released.
Well, not quite. It almost did, though. It almost did. We'll talk about that a little later on. Man, I can't believe the NFL draft picks that all these teams have picked, Eric. How are things looking for your football team for the NFL draft?
What do you mean? Via free agency, or what do you mean?
Well, you can start with free agency if you like. I was talking about it overall, you know, the whole thing.
I think, you know, the free agency, I mean, the draft is in May. The NFL draft is in May, so. Free agency, been all right. Oakland got two good players.
Yeah, we need them.
You guys got a former Giant, Justin Tuck, and former Steeler, Lamar Woodley.
Yeah, that's good. That's very good. How do you think the NFL, you know, the simulated draft is doing overall?
It's all right.
That's good. Well, you know, I can't believe it, but, you know, how was the weekend for you? Eric, last weekend? Were you able to firmly adjust to daylight savings time right away, or did you?
Oh, it was okay. I had to work, so.
Did you oversleep on your alarm clock?
Did I lie?
Did you oversleep? Like, were you late for work?
No.
That's good.
How about you?
Oh, me, you know me. I didn't have nothing to worry about this year.
You're up all night, so.
Yeah, you know, I'm always awake. That's the way it is for me. I'm sure the same can't be said for our good friend DDP who's in the chat room.
Calling him a night owl, you know.
So you're saying that DDP is now a night owl?
Yeah, all he does is stay up all night.
I think DDP
was... He's up with the ladies. He's up with the ladies all night, you know.
Well, that's kind of true, I guess, you know. DDP, I'm not the one that said all that. Eric Williams is the one saying that you're the ladies, man. I mean, we know that part is true, but I don't know about the staying up all night thing. But then again, you are traveling, DDP. He's traveling. He might come to PA. You never know. He might steal all of your girlfriends in PA, Eric. What are you going to do about that?
Oh, God. He might come to California.
Well, with a guy like DDP, I'm sure I could, you know, some of his good luck stuff could rub off on me, and then I'll get the lady that I need. So you don't want him to come to PA and start a.
I like him party with Nick. I want to party with DDP. I just want to take him out, and, you know, chill out.
Take him out to Hooters or someplace like that?
Yeah, he'll get excited.
Well, you know, I'm sure we'll hear from DDP about this in a few minutes.
I don't think
you
want to leave.
Okay, now it sounds like you're trying to recruit him to move to PA now.
Yeah, I do. I am.
Well, you know, just send him half the $1 million that I sent you, you know, pay off his house.
You didn't send
like
shit,
that
cheap ass.
Oh, my goodness, Eric.
Are you looking in a mirror? Is that why you're saying, oh, my goodness, as you're looking in a mirror?
why would I be looking in the mirror on a live show? I don't got time for that. Besides, us guys, we're not supposed to have personal mirrors.
No.
Ladies doing that. Oh, I know. You probably accidentally, or maybe purposely, stole your girlfriend's personal mirror from her purse.
No.
You're just staring at yourself right now.
No, I was saying that you were looking at yourself in the mirror.
No, I don't have time for that. There's not even a mirror near me. I am staring at my computer right now.
Wow.
Well, I do have time to turn around and stare at my new flat-screen TV that I finally got for my bedroom.
Oh, you got a flat-screen TV?
Yeah, I got a 32-inch Samsung. It's huge. It's perfect, you know. I like the picture quality. Last night I decided to throw in some of my newer independent wrestling DVDs, and the picture quality is great when you play DVDs on it. I hooked everything up to it. Beautiful.
Right.
Yeah, so I know you heard me say the word free. You're probably wondering how that happened. How did Matt Alvarez get his hands on free independent wrestling DVDs? Well, in all seriousness, you know, a good friend of ours from a good wrestling fan passed away, so we had a memorial for him on Sunday, and they happened to give out, he had a whole bunch of DVDs and T-shirts and stuff, at the place that he was living at. They didn't know what to do with it because he doesn't really have family out here. So they just were just like, take whatever you want. So I took a couple of T-shirts and like 8 DVDs. I almost got my hands on the brand new ROH iPay-per-view, but a referee from another promotion, he got his hands on that. Yeah, he's a good friend of mine, too, but he got his hands on that DVD before I did. Actually, all of us were upset about that after the memorial. I was like, damn you, I wanted that. And everybody else, I'm like, no, I wanted that ROH DVD. I'm like, man. So.
What kind of DVDs were they? What kind of independent wrestling?
XPW. The new ECW DVD. Well, the movie Battle of Los Angeles, that's kind of old, but...
Is that a wrestling show or a movie?
No, that's a movie.
Okay.
Yeah. But there's this other one called UXW. It's got two... I was shocked when I opened it, because I was like, I haven't opened this yet. Let me see what this is. I was shocked, Eric Williams. I opened it. There are two DVDs inside there. Inside of this UXW promotion that I got. I was like, wow. So, yeah, everything looked good last night.
How'd you get your TV?
Huh?
I said, how much did you pay for your TV, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, for my TV, it was a good deal that I got at Best Buy.
Okay.
It was a really good deal. It was only $350.
Wow.
That also came with a 2-year protection plan in case anything happens to the TV or if I need to return it for it not working properly. So I'm like, wow, that's a very good deal. Everything was already included. So, like, hey,
wait, you didn't have a TV
that.
Before, or you had a really small TV?
No, I remember during the all of our Thanksgiving episodes that we did, and I told you about how I'm never going to do Black Friday shopping again.
Right.
I did Black Friday shopping in 2007, and after that I said no more, and that's when I saw this really cool TV there, and I only paid $100 for it, and it was a TV that had a DVD inside of it already, so it was cool, but it just started crapping out. So after all this time, from 2007 to now, so I'm like, I need another TV immediately. So that's when I was against the flat screen TV for the longest time. I don't know why, but I guess you got to change sometime, Eric. So
yeah,
I jumped on the flat screen TV bandwagon, and that's when I got.
So now you're moving up in the world.
Yeah, little by.
Now all you got to do is get the WWE Network and you'll be fine.
I'll reconsider that later on in the year.
PS3? You have a PS3?
I have a PS3.
You could get the WWE Network and on the PS3 and watch it on the PS3 and put it up to your flat screen TV and you can watch the WWE Network on your TV.
Yeah, but you know, like I said, I tried out the network for the 1-week free trial, so I'll think I'll go back to it later in the year.
What'd you think of it?
Yeah, I'm considering getting the network. I know a few people have. I know all of my friends in Chicago have. How about you? You got the network?
Yeah, well, I stopped asking you. What do you think of the network?
It was cool. It was cool.
You get to watch old WWE shows and.
No, like I said last week, when I was doing it, I watched all the WCW pay per views and all the ECW pay per views.
Yeah, I love the network.
So you probably watched NXT Live this week, didn't you?
I got the chance to watch it a little bit, yeah.
Cool.
What's DDP saying in the chat room?
Let's see if he... No, he never... The only thing he answered me on was that he doesn't want Stephanie McMahon's phone number, even though it was never officially given out. Like I said, we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But yeah, check this out. One of the reasons that fans love Wrigley Field is because it appears to have been dropped into an otherwise typical neighborhood on the north side of Chicago. The rooftop apartments beyond the ivy-covered bleachers add character and charm to the ballpark setting. Chicago Cubs ownership should have purchased these properties along Waveland and Sheffield Avenues a long time ago. But too bad for them. Because Coldy Stadium, which is a minor league stadium for a minor league baseball team, it's been open since 1996, Eric, and needs upgrading regardless, said the owners.
Ooh.
It's Coldy Stadium.
Ooh, where's that at?
Well, it's over, I guess, somewhere by in the Midwest. It's a club for the Toronto Blue Jays. Oh, so it's like a half deal between the Blue Jays to build this minor league stadium that they did in 96. And the city wants to expand and upgrade this downtown landing in the state capital. The plan will be called the Outfield. And they said that.
And that's where they're going to have the places to live?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. They said if the city council approves, the project will be done around the next two off seasons, and this minor league baseball team would have their own stadium with apartment complexes in it by 2016. This is coming from the Lansing State Journal reporting.
So you could pretty much watch the games from your apartment.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I was talking about earlier when they said it in, you know, the State Leasing Journal had said that, you know, they were joking about, well, what if it was like from the movie The Sandlot, where every time a window got broken, all the kids ran. How funny would that be? If all these players actually did that.
What?
It's going to be, check this out. It's going to be a two-bedroom, two-bath with 1,250 square feet of space in the nearby stadium district. But the rent is going to be really steep. Not even I can afford this. $1,850 a month.
Wow, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, have fun with that, you know.
Yeah, so if you guys are in that area, if you think you'd like to live there, go ahead. If you can afford the rent, my God. Oh, gee. That's both good and bad because, you know, like they said, you might have a window broken almost every other day when they're playing. And then in the off season, you'll have to get another new window.
I don't think it'll be a problem. I think it'll just be, it'll probably be too far from the home run stadium.
Yeah, but there's one more other thing. I said, well, shouldn't you build something else? And they said, oh, yeah, we're going to build something else. They want to build billboards for the team on top of the apartment. I think that's kind of dangerous, though.
Why?
Billboards up there. Well, because a friend of mine in Oakland, she lives under a bunch of these billboards, too, that the city pays for and stuff like that in Oakland, California. And when we had our storm season 2 years ago, it knocked one of the billboards over, but it went sideways. It didn't go forward, and it smacked right into the middle of the street. So if it would have went forward, it would have landed on her house. So,
wow.
Yeah, those billboards are cool, but they're also dangerous to live under.
Right.
So she said she was lucky that it didn't go forward and it went sideways. So she's glad it went sideways and not forward. But, yeah, that's what they want to do. I can't believe that. That does, you know, looking at these pictures here, for this minor league team, the layout looks very awesome, almost like your typical ballpark, and they're going to include a 24-hour restaurant.
Wow.
That sounds awesome, a 24-hour restaurant. How would you like to live in an apartment complex?
Now.
Huh?
So now you got to move to the Midwest.
Yeah, I guess I do. Everybody wants to be 24 hours now.
Right.
Then again, I only got to experience the 24-hour thing for a few days a few years ago.
What?
When I went to a wrestling show in Bakersfield, me and a couple of friends of mine rented some rooms, and we stayed at a very, very nice Holiday Inn location that had 24-hour everything. They even had a gym in there. It's like,
what?
Wow. You go to the gym anytime.
I'm actually currently watching the network while we're talking on this show. So.
Oh, really? Who's wrestling?
Hold on one second. All right.
Well, Eric Williams is doing that. I guess we'll continue here. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get right into the show now. I mean, we have been on the air for 22 minutes. But today we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, do you know who's in charge? You know who's in charge. I'm sure everybody's saying, well, I know who's in charge. But Tilly's in charge of baseball. Roger Goodell's in charge of the NFL. Come on, Matt. Dixon Carter's in charge of TNA. Everybody is in charge of something that we all know about. As I hear Eric Williams moving around over there.
Yeah.
I think Eric Williams went off to do a popcorn run without us, DDP. Matt, that's not cool. Not sharing anything. It does sound like he's doing a popcorn run.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Were you waiting for me?
No, not at all.
Okay.
But me and DDP thought you were doing a popcorn run without us. It sounded like popcorn popping back there.
No, I actually put the phone down, and I had to run downstairs to get something.
You had to run downstairs. Nice. But yeah, everybody said, well, come on, Matt. We know who's in charge of who. Not really, because really what's going on here is that people under the actual boss are making their moves around all the different sports and in wrestling. Say, hey, this idea would work and this idea would work. When really the people under the actual boss, and sometimes the actual boss doesn't know how to make the fans happy. I know it's sort of a trick question, but as you'll see throughout the next 2 hours.
Wow, I'm looking at pictures of this stadium that they're building.
You like that, huh?
they could easily get their windows smashed.
That's what I'm saying.
I thought you meant that the... Wait, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I did say that they want to build it extremely close. What, you thought I was kidding or something? See how close those windows are?
No, I thought they weren't. I thought it wasn't close.
Well, there's still a chance for somebody to hit a home run that far in.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know. We'll, looks like we'll have to wait until 2016 to find out when they actually design the thing, if they're going to actually do it and go through with it. Well, what's the best picture that you like so far about that, Eric Williams?
What'd you say?
I said, what's the best picture that you like so far from that baseball stadium?
The one with the apartments. It looks like people can just nail the apartments with a home run.
Yeah. Yeah, they can. But yeah,
what else is going on?
Nothing else really is going on, you know.
I think I'm going to have a caller at around 4:30.
Oh, really?
Not 4:30, 1:30.
There
your
you go.
Time.
There you go.
Should be calling in.
I knew what you meant, but, you know, don't
use the number.
The audience.
What?
Huh?
I said a number from a 610 number should be calling in.
Ah, okay. Well, there's the caller now.
All right. You want to put them on?
Yeah, I'm putting them on. It's just Blog Talk loading the thing. I'm just waiting for Blog Talk. Come on, Blog Talk. We don't have all day. Or...
if I need to get on there, I'll do it. All right, let me put them on, all right?
All right.
At this time, I want to welcome to the show. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, Eric, how's it going?
Eric and Matt, welcome you.
Hello, Matt.
How you doing? Hey, what's going on?
Good, how are you?
Good, good.
So, you know, I talked to you earlier this week, talked to you about some basketball, college basketball. You're a big Duke fan. College basketball is wrapping up the regular season. We're going to went into March Madness. And, you know.
Conference tournaments are in full swing.
Yeah, conference tournaments. Tell me some information, what you researched. And just, you know, talk about what you want to talk about.
All right, well. I have, since I am a Duke fan, I do enjoy the ACC tournament, and it's held in Greensboro, North Carolina, usually. It started on Wednesday night, and Wake Forest and Notre Dame kicked it off, and Wake Forest ended up winning 81-69, and they're actually a 12 seed, so, you know, 12, 13... 14, 15 seeds, you know they're not going to do very well. And they actually did lose to Pittsburgh then. who right now is at really playing well against North Carolina and is making a good case to not only eliminate a good North Carolina team, but make a case to the committee that, you know, we belong there. You know, Pittsburgh's really you know, they come in as a 5 seed and they threw up 76 points against Wake, and they're pretty right now. I think they got 70 some points right now again. So you know, that's that, and I think tonight is going to be an interesting night. Virginia advanced earlier, and a lot of people have them as a top seed. You know, they had a really good season in the ACC. And, you know, it's going to be interesting because Virginia is going to play the winner of Syracuse and NC State, which is on tonight at 7 o'clock. And then you have Duke and Clemson later, which I'll be tuning into. Then they play the winner of this game, Pittsburgh and North Carolina, and it looks like Pittsburgh is going to probably win. It's still some time left, but it's going to, you know. So, yeah, the ACC's been, I thought, interesting, but I don't know if you guys saw Villanova go down the other night.
I was just about to mention. What are you thinking about Villanova going down to Seton Hall by a point, 64-63, on a last-second shot as time expired?
Yeah, I mean, Villanova's had a really good season. They're impressive, and I think Seton Hall, you know, it's these teams that really need those wins, because Seton Hall is not going to get anywhere near the tournament probably unless they win the whole thing, the Big East.
Right.
It's incredible, though, to see a game like that. I mean, what a crazy finish. You know, we know of the kid from Liberty High School, you know, I mean, you went there.
Darren Hilliard, yeah.
Darren Hilliard, and he's having a heck of a year. He had a big play in that game yesterday, and, you know, it's good to see that kind of a story. And Villanova's going to be, I think I heard earlier, they're going to be ranked or seeded like number three.
Okay.
You know, 1 through 4, there's really not, I mean, everybody makes such a big deal about it, but when you're 1 through 4 in the tournament, you're capable of going all the way. You're that good. But like you said, I do have other stuff. I have different teams that people should think about that aren't going to be seeded really high. You know, like a UCLA. They've had a really good season in the Pac-12. Oregon, who a lot of people think of them as a football team, they're having a really good year in basketball, 22 wins. Oklahoma State, who's had a lot more attention on them because they have that really good player in Marcus Smart.
Right.
You know, he's a very good player. And tough loss to Kansas yesterday, but, you know, you figure they'll get a decent seed. And I bet you a lot of people remember this because I was swearing up a storm last year. Virginia Commonwealth, you know, they always seem to pull an upset, and they're out of the Atlantic 10, and they're no, you know, they've won 24 games this year. They upset Michigan last year. So Virginia, VCU is a team to watch out for. I think here's another one, North Dakota State. North Dakota State, like, you know, where are they at? Like, who they play? Well, they won 25 games in their conference, you know, the Summit Conference.
Right.
So there's a few, you know, there's a few teams there that I think are interesting. Baylor's another one. This is just a great time. I'm a huge basketball fan. I said this to you the other night. Huge basketball fan, and just love this time because, you know, anything can happen. I mean, with any team, you know, but when you lace them up in March Madness, you know, there's a winner and there's a loser, you know, and that's sometimes the finality of it is sometimes the best part, you know. And for the loser, it's the worst part.
Right. Give me 1 second. I'm just pulling up something real quick.
No problem.
you know, we got the tournament coming up, and ESPN does a bracketology, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Right now they have their number one seeds. This is Joe Lenardi. He has the number one seeds being Florida out of the South, Arizona out of the West, Wichita State out of Midwest, and Villanova out of the East.
That's interesting. I mean, I agree with three of the four. I think with the loss yesterday with Villanova, I don't know how you can rank them number one. I think Wisconsin, they're saying, I heard somebody said, Michigan, depending on – Wisconsin and Michigan might play each other in the Big Ten, and that could be really interesting.
They also have Duke being the number two seed in the South Conference.
I'm okay with that because I think Duke's a better two seed. I don't think they're a number one. They haven't been consistent enough, and I know we've talked about that. They haven't been a total juggernaut of a team this year. They're a good team. They're dangerous, but they're not like a top-seeded team, I don't think.
Right.
So I agree. I agree with them being a two, but Villanova's not going to get it. I'd be really surprised if they're one. I mean, there's going to be a lot of questions then because Kansas could be a one, with Embiid being out probably. They're carefully thinking about that, I heard. Virginia could be a one. What do you, you know, like we said, they had a great year in the ACC. But I think it's tough to give Villanova. You can't lose your first game in your conference tournament. I don't care how good of a season you had.
Right. Well, Villanova was 16-2 in the conference, 12-2 in non-conference.
Right.
And versus the top 25, they were 1-3.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too. Some people don't look at the top 25, but you look at the RPIs, too, because they're big in how they figure out the seedings, you know.
Right.
The past couple of years, though, there have been those – I mean, look at that George Mason. I mean, there's always, like, one or two teams that really can spoil a lot of teams' chances and
I think that loss to Seton Hall really hurts because they're mm-hmm. saying for Villanova, going back to Villanova,
right.
The Seton Hall loss is pretty big because in the RPI 101 to 150, that's their only loss. I mean, they beat Seton Hall twice, one on the road and one at home.
Okay, I didn't know that. And it's tough to beat a team three times. I always say that, too, in any sport, but basketball especially because – you're playing on different floors, and, you know, that's a tough one.
And they only have three losses against teams they lost to Creighton twice, both times by more than 20 points.
Right, and you got to watch out for, like, a team like Louisville, who was there last year and, you know, had such a good run. You know, that's another really good team. Just an update, though. Pittsburgh's only up about six now with a little bit over a minute to play in the game. So Carolina's really came back. So that's that's interesting.
I think a team to watch out for is going to be a Wisconsin team. I mean, they have not lost a game out of the conference.
No, wait, who is that?
Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin, yeah. See, that's what I'm saying, and that means something because they probably play a pretty good non-conference schedule.
Right.
You know, and I think
they beat Florida. They beat Michigan, at Michigan.
And Michigan's a really good team.
At Virginia, they beat Virginia.
And there you go. Virginia's going to be a one or a two.
Right.
See,
they beat Virginia 48-38.
What would be interesting is if Virginia and Duke both don't win the ACC tournament, if they both don't win it, like they one of them gets there but the other one loses beforehand, the finals, and then say Michigan and Wisconsin both don't win it, what do you do? Then you have an interesting dilemma. You know,
but honestly,
then
here's the thing. With Virginia, let's look at some of the wins against the teams that were like RPIs worth 150 over.
They beat James Madison, Navy, Liberty, Hampton, Norfolk State, Virginia Tech, Boston College, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech.
You tell me they played some cupcakes.
What?
They played some cupcake teams.
Yeah, but they also had games against Southern Methodist, Missouri State.
Okay.
What?
I have Southern Methodist on my list here for a team to watch out for.
But they're also... They also need to, you know, in neutral sites, they are 3-0 this year.
Well, that's good because where do you play the NCAA tournament, you know?
On neutral.
Neutral floor, you know, that's a big thing. You know, that's just it's what it is. I mean, you'll never see it change either. They have to play at different places, and they should have never played at a home court. It's probably what makes it really exciting because there's no advantage with total fan, you know, total home court advantage with fans, I should say.
Right.
You know, that's
Virginia led by. Joe Harris had the big game the other night against Florida State.
Yeah, Joe Harris is a good player.
But Florida State also had three guys in double figures in scoring.
Yeah, Florida State's balanced, but you know what the problem with Florida State is? I don't think they play as great as defense as these other teams, and I think that's exactly why you see the Duke and the Carolinas and even Syracuse now. You know, you see these teams really win games because they play defense, and that's what, you know, that's huge in college basketball.
Right.
Defense wins games. And in the end, defense wins championships, as they say.
Right. Oh, man.
So, I mean, Creighton's another one. Watch out for Creighton. I mean, a lot of people think McDermott, forget his first
Doug
name.
Doug McDermott.
Thank you. McDermott, yeah, he's a heck of a player. And, you know, they're gonna be a tough matchup. I wouldn't want to see my team play Creighton. You know, they're gonna be a tough out. And what a really interesting to see where they go. There's just certain teams you want to see who they're matched up with. You know, and Creighton is no doubt one of them.
Yeah, McDermott is considered to be a top 10 pick this year.
I was going to say, if he's not in the lottery, he'll be outside of it.
Yeah.
You know, Sixer fans are hoping to get Jabari Parker. I'm still hoping Jabari Parker comes back for a second year. So that's, you know, that's to be seen. But, there's some really good players in this tournament, and I think we'll hear about that coming up now in the next week, you know, as we see the brackets unveiled on Sunday night. It's always fun.
Right.
You know, so.
Baseball's also starting up soon.
That is. I'm just as excited for that. This is what I say about what a great time of year it is.
Yeah.
Baseball is coming, and Jimmy Rollins and Ryan Sandberg are not having a good time with each other.
Nah, they're not.
They got to get on
the
same
Phillies
game.
Just released Lou Marson, so.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard that.
Now I did.
Yeah.
Well, the catching situation is really not really a pressing need, you know. You have Chooch and then you have Nieves. And I feel like Cameron Rupp would be your third catcher when they can expand rosters. I just really want to see Darren Ruff make the team. I swear, if Darren Ruff doesn't make the team and John Mayberry Jr. does, I'm going to be very, very upset. Very, very upset. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that John Mayberry is out of options. Darren Ruff is a better hitter. Just saying.
All right, Joe. Thank you for calling in, and we will talk to you next time.
All right, thanks for having me. Have a good rest of the show.
All right,
thanks,
see you, Jeff.
See you. Bye.
All right. That was a guest brought on by Eric Williams. Pretty smart guy there, you that you know, Eric.
Yeah.
That's good. Talked a lot of basketball, talked some baseball. Good segment. But, ladies and gentlemen, Matt Broderick had and all, well, actually not just him, apparently all the guys that we all know together, Corey and the rest of you, they were all at Matt Broderick's house last night. Having fun. They were watching a pay-per-view DVD on one TV, and on another TV, they were playing, I don't remember what video game they were playing. Guys, forgive me. But they asked me to do this for them for commercial. I said, sure, I can do it, man. That's awesome. But they also brought back memories for me. Eric Williams, you remember Tony Hawk, right? The Tony Hawk video game?
Yeah. Yep.
Actually, that's what they were playing last night. They were playing Tony Hawk, I think.
Wow. Which, I haven't heard that. I haven't played that game in years.
Yeah.
That game was awesome.
So they were doing video games on one TV, watching a WWE pay-per-view on the other TV. Kind of multitasking. They always say multitasking is easy. I don't know why everybody in my family thinks it's so hard. It's easy. You can do 5 things at once, maybe 10. Or like Eric Williams, you can do 20 things at once.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they sent me this and asked me to do it. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we've got some amazing wrestling news. Remember how this whole segment today is about who's in charge? Well, TNA has done a completely revamp. You're going to find out who the new backstage road agents are for TNA now. You'll find all that. Plus, how close was a well-known wrestling analyst on his television show, how close was he and his guest from the UFC? They were so close to getting Stephanie McMahon's number, cell phone number, on TV, but it never aired. You'll hear about that and a whole lot more after this quick break.
Mike, what is your deal, man?
Oh, come on, man. You've been riding me all day.
Mike, you're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Oh. Baby.
Whoa.
Eat a Snickers. Better?
Better.
Hey!
That hurts.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
Doing everything I can, pouring it all.
And we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. That was a very cool song from one of the Tony Hawk video games from Goldfinger. That's the name of the band. Superman. That was for all my friends in Chicago. There you go, guys. Eric Williams, I know we don't like change, but some people enjoy change. But like you said before the commercial break, I've been playing the whole Tony Hawk video game too. But now Tony Hawk, I have a lot of Tony Hawk clothes that I got over the years. Did you ever get any Tony Hawk shorts or anything like that?
No.
No?
Mm-hmm.
You're not into the Tony Hawk paraphernalia that everybody's wearing nowadays?
He's probably a millionaire.
Well, yeah, I mean, he should be. Video games, clothes. I think that's about it. I think it's just video games and clothes right now for him. So, other merchandise, I'm sure it's out there. I'm not really sure, but but yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome. But I guess we have to say that. Well, I'm not sure if Eric Williams knows, but I know a little bit about it, about who the new road agents are. Backstage agent for TNA, Eric Williams. Have you been following up with this dramatic change in TNA?
No.
Well, good. Neither has anybody else. But, ladies and gentlemen, the new backstage agent for TNA, they're going to start playing an integral part. I'm okay with it, but like I said before, like I said just a few minutes ago, sometimes we don't like change, but we must change with everything. So here they are, Al Snow, Abyss, Simon Pat Diamond, he used to be Simon Diamond in ECW, get it? But his middle name is actually Pat Kenny. Simon Pat Diamond Kenny and Tommy Dreamer and Bully Ray. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Bully Ray. Bully Ray is the only one that's an actual on-air talent, but he's a part of the backstage agent crew, which a lot of people aren't too fond of, you know, because remember they had the whole thing back in WCW, Eric, when they said, well, Eric Bischoff is the president, but he shouldn't be on. Eric Bischoff shouldn't be on TV.
Eric Williams should be.
Huh?
I said I should be, though.
Yeah, you should be. You'd be the boss. You'd be the president. So if you were actually in charge, Eric, you would try your best to show everybody that you should be in charge and why you should be in charge.
I'll hire
you. Thank you. I appreciate that. What would you hire me for?
I don't know. Figure something out. But, hey, I'm going to let you guys go. I have to take care of some business, so I will talk to you guys next week.
All right. Take care, Eric.
See ya.
All right. Well, Eric Williams is going to take off and ride into the sunset for this weekend. Actually, a lot of people are. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've been enjoying us for our first hour, we're about to go into our second hour. And for some people, it's a four-day weekend. I mean, hey, St. Patrick's Day is coming up, and, you know, the old charade still is. And I'm sure DDP is like me. I know Eric Williams is like me. We're whatever. Oh, you're not wearing green? Well, guess what? I'm going to pinch you. Go ahead and pinch me for not wearing green. But then again, green is my favorite color, so. But I'm probably not going to actually wear it on Monday. I'll wear something else. And I probably won't be going anywhere. I don't think I have anything planned on my calendar as I'm looking at it right now. No, I don't have anything planned to go anywhere or do anything on Monday. So, yeah, I'm sure DDP, you're like that too, where just because I'm not wearing green, don't even think you can put your hands on me. No pinching here. And ladies and gentlemen, check this out. Bobby Lashley, who appeared at this past Sunday's pay-per-view lockdown, and everybody wondered, what the hell was he doing there? And then people were saying, I mean, hell, after Monday Night Raw went off the air, I immediately got back on Twitter, and everybody was blowing up Twitter. Bobby Lashley signed a $12 million contract to stay with TNA for another year. Everybody's been blowing things up on the internet, taking things out of extreme proportion. As I said, who's really in charge? Well, we know that MVP's team won. We certainly don't have time to go into the results of the TNA lockdown pay-per-view, but we'll do that next week. Like I always say, that's been my new mantra for 2014. Ever since 2014 started, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, we didn't get to do this on the show. We didn't get to do that on the show. But then I came up with a concept that for 2014, right before 2013 ended, whatever doesn't get covered this week, we'll roll it into next week. Remember when Singular was their own company and they had the rollover plan? That's what I'm doing. I'm just rolling over into next week because it's a continuous thing. But anyways, back to Bobby Lashley. No, he never signed a $12 million contract to stay with TNA for 2 years. He didn't sign anything. So everything that DDP and you and all your friends and Matt Broderick and all the other wrestling fans everywhere, I'm going to say it again. Anything that you hear from me is the truth. He didn't sign a contract before or after the show on Sunday night for the pay-per-view. It was a handshake-only deal. In other words, what he was saying was, I'm going to help you out tonight. Let's shake hands right here, right now. And he shook hands with TNA management. Only because they wanted his return to lockdown and to the company to be a huge, huge secret. So they shook hands sometime before the pay-per-view, because there's no way you can shake hands during a pay-per-view, because then everybody would know that. That would be like if DDP was this long-lost wrestler like Bobby Lashley, who was gone for so long, and then suddenly appears on the pay-per-view. He's not going to shake hands during a pay-per-view. I mean, he could. It could be part of the storyline, but reality is they wanted to keep this a true secret. So they more than likely had to have met Sunday morning or Saturday night, somewhere in there, to say, hey, we're going to keep this one big secret. Which is why several of the talents, you know, the bromans were like, dude, he's like our best friend. We're just now finding out that he's coming back? Well, because that's why it's called a secret. Look, when I was a kid, my mother would always relay messages to me and me only, not to my sisters and not to my brothers. Why? Because they were complete blabbermouths. They blew every secret you could think of, especially sometimes, like if it would come to my birthday, which is coming up in 2 weeks. Or they would say, well, you know, I know this and this and that about your girlfriend and stuff. And they would just ruin everything. And me, that's why my mother always came to me. She'd say, Matt, here's what's going to happen. This is a secret. The reason that people give you a secret, if they're making a change to say this is who's in charge now, and don't tell anybody, DDP, that I'm putting this person in charge, because this person's now in charge of bringing this person back. And secret number two, DDP, don't tell anybody that this person is bringing this former wrestler back. That's why they didn't tell anybody. So now he's just working on a handshake deal. He will make some appearances from time to time, but he's going to make these appearances on his own terms by doing handshake deals. So if you're one of those, you know, wrestling fans that take the whole wrestling thing to heart, then you're probably going to get pissed off with me. Well, go ahead. You're probably going to be tempted to call in and tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about. But my friend, if you feel that way, it's wrestling. Sure, this is not a storyline, but if it was, it would make no sense for you to be arguing over a storyline, but this is not a storyline. The fact is that all these maniacal wrestling fans think they know what they're talking about, but they don't. So just remember, he hasn't signed any type of money contract. He's making handshake contracts. Because he's not really, you know, now that he's seen the way things operate in WWE and other wrestling promotions. And this gives him another advantage. If they manipulate his character, he can walk. They can't sue him or anything for a breach of contract because it's only a handshake contract. He didn't sign any documents. So if anything happens on a live pay-per-view or on a taped television show, he can say, I didn't appreciate the way you tarnished my character. I'm out of here. I quit. I'm quitting by handshake because that's all we did was shake hands. And WWE, for everybody that likes to go to Monday Night Raw, and if you've been enjoying staying after Raw for, you know, dark matches, because, you know, ever since the 90s, before Raw and then after Raw, they would give you a dark match that would not be televised. But now they have to suspend the dark matches due to the new backstage pass thing that they got going on for the actual WWE network. They say that they have to devote time into that, which would take place, Raw goes off the air. Which, ironically, is not what it's supposed to be. Here, do this. Go back to when you first started doing dark matches, before Raw goes on the air. They're over here talking about, we have to suspend services for the dark matches. That used to take place after all, because we can't do it anymore, because now we have the network, and we've got the new backstage pass that's a part of the WWE network. So if you've subscribed to the WWE network, like a lot of you know that have, I know a lot of you have, not me though. Well, fine, just do it. Do a dark match before Raw goes on the air. You still have time to devote to the new backstage pass thing that you got going on for your little network on WWE.com. But no, they want to suspend them. They're suspending all dark matches until they figure out what the hell to do with them. So they're not going to, they might not ever come back. Look, there's no reason to suspend the dark matches. There's a simple fact, a simple fix right there. Plain and simple. Just put a dark match before Raw. Still devote your time to the backstage pass thing after Raw. What, there's not enough people working there? I don't even want to hear that. And check this out. UFC fighter Chimaev Sanun was a guest on Off the Record with Michael Landburn. They talked about CM Punk, and Shell said, well, I don't know about CM Punk or what's going to happen with him and what's really going on in that head of him. I mean, we have been best friends since we were kids, but I honestly can't tell you anything. He told Michael Landsberg, the host of the show, I'm not sure about anything. I don't know what's going on with his emotions. Sure, I'm his best friend since we were kids. But if you really want to know things, he said, he looked at the television camera, and he said, Stephanie McMahon would know. Michael Lambert said, well, what are you doing? He's like, hold on. He stood up to put his hands in his pocket. He reached out, and he held up a little piece of paper and sat back down in his chair, and there was a phone number on it. And he told the viewers, call this number. Call this number right now, Soon said. Then he directed a comment to Stephanie McMahon. Excuse me. He directed a comment strictly at Stephanie McMahon, saying, oh, by the way. And he looked at the television camera with a huge smirk on his face, an evil look, and said, tell Hunter, tell your husband, I just played the game. Oh, boy. Wow. I can't believe that. However, for those of you in Canada that saw this episode of Off the Record with host Michael Landsberg and his UFC guest, after the show was off the air, since the number was blurred on TV, Landsberg, who was the host of the show, later stated that he actually had his representative from the people that work for his show. They actually called the number, and they have verified that the number that was blurred was her actual cell phone number. And I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that Stephanie McMahon herself was not at all happy with the call. They said, we're just trying to see if this is really your number. What do you mean? Of course it's my number. I can just imagine how pissed off she was. And I'm sure Michael Landsberg didn't really get all into it like I did. I'm sure he was very respectful, like I'm sure he is. He's always that way, even though he doesn't have his corny side to his corny jokes, but that's him. I'm sure he was like, well, Stephanie, I'm very sorry. We weren't sure. We just had him on our show just a few minutes ago. Our show just went off the air, and we just wanted to make sure. And I'm sure she probably told Michael Landsberg and his team, don't call me again unless you want an actual interview with me. Who knows what she said? She probably even hung up on them. Man, if only that number was not blurred, I could have given you all her personal cell phone information. Then we could all call her and tell her what a horrible job that her husband is doing with the company. Even though her dad is still alive, Vince McMahon, things could have gotten completely out of hand if that number was never blurred. But since it was blurred, and nobody knows the actual number except Michael Landsberg and his team, man. I know. Back in the 90s, they would do this thing that became famous. They were called wrestling shoots, where it meant that they were doing real promos, and they were speaking the truth about how they felt. They don't do that anymore. But what if? That would be funny if this coming Monday on Raw, if Stephanie McMahon initiated that into her promo to try and do a shoot promo, but then again, I'm not really sure if she even knows the word of shoot promo. Not even Triple H. Anyways, let's get into Monday Night Raw. Hogan starts off Raw and sends it he's glad that he's hosting WrestleMania. But for the first time ever, saying that he, quote, he, came up with the idea of having a 30-man Andre the Giant Battle Royal. We all know systematically that it's not his idea. It never was. It was Vince McMahon and others that are in charge of the company. That's why everybody was like, wow, Hogan's got a great idea. But it was just, shut up. It was not Hogan's great idea. People still, I know people still refer to him as the icon and the immortal one. That he, because he told Hogan, it had to have been his grand vision behind this 30-man Andre the Giant Battle Royal. No. They would never let him do that. They won't let him take full credit for it. That's why they have writers and everything else and producers. And that's why that part of that all leads into the word storyline. So when he comes out and grabs the microphone and says that it's his idea, people just go ballistic. Then Cena, John Cena came out and he to try and be the first entrant to the Battle Royal. But then here came the Wyatt family. And they went off and they traded promos with each other. Eric Rowan took on John Cena. John Cena wins systematically with the roll-up for the 1-2-3. Now, Stephanie McMahon came out and did a promo about why things happened, why Triple H, her husband, had the right to put his hand on Daniel Bryan. She said, well, we were thinking of firing him, but no, we're not going to fire him. We want him to apologize to us. Wow. Tag team action, Ryback versus Curtis Axel. So it's Ryback and Curtis Axel taking on the Usos. And it was a very, very high-flying centered match, mostly high-flying. It was great. I appreciated that. And as much athleticism as Ryback and Curtis Axel have, I guess the writers this week felt that let's keep the Usos on their winning streak. Like I've been saying for the last few weeks, that both of the Usos are in tandem relationships outside of wrestling, and one of them got engaged, so they have to, you know, they feel that the way of treating the Usos by letting them constantly win, and, you know, they are the tag team champions right now. Biggie Langston took on Jack Swagger. Biggie Langston wins. He also wins by a roll-up. And it did look like there was a lot of dissension within the real Americans. Of course, Zeb Coulter trying to initiate his authority this week and saying that, look, the buck stops here. I can't take it anymore. I'm losing my hair because of you two bickering and fighting like a bunch of stupid little girls. Now shake hands. Right now. Right now. Of course, when push came to shove, still. They did shake hands, but Antonio Cesaro did not let go. He put a firm grip on Jack Swagger, and Jack Swagger started screaming, let go! That hurts! Let go! Let go, damn it! Ah, I tell you. The Undertaker made a rare appearance on Raw. He made a cutthroat promo on Brock Lesnar. But Paul Heyman came out and saying that there's no way you can be greater than Brock Lesnar. You are 21-0. You are undefeated at the same pay-per-view. Nobody else has been able to be undefeated at one pay-per-view, the same pay-per-view every year. And he went off and named tandem, you know, Shawn Michaels and all these other great people. And then, you know, Undertaker, a lot of people don't notice, but he was See, there are quotes out there by great people especially by Albert Einstein, but only the quotes that people know of. But there are also hidden quotes by Albert Einstein, questionable evil side to Albert Einstein, and that's what The Undertaker quoted. He said, "Are you afraid of death? If you're not afraid of death, then since you're Brock Lesnar's messenger boy, and tell Brock Lesnar, don't be afraid of death. Don't fear it. Challenge it and embrace it, because in the end, you're going to die anyways, because you will rest in peace." Wow. So I'm looking forward to WrestleMania. I can't wait for all this to go down. Goldust and Cody Rhodes took on Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. You know, they were motivated by Kane earlier before this match. I'm giving you two one opportunity, one chance tonight to show me if you're still the same as you were when you first came in here, or if you're completely 100% disposable and replaceable, is what he was saying. But Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, they win the match. They really are pushing the whole Believe in the Shield contention team. This is actually working out very well. I usually blame the writers for insulting the intelligence of the fans, but this time I think they realized that there was no way to do that, so they had to have the Shield win, and then furthermore, keep the Shield building up. Even though they've lost the tag titles, they still have the U.S. title. One member of the Shield still has one title. The Bella Twins took on Tamina and AJ Lee, with Natalia doing excerpts of commentary at ringside. The Bellas, they won the match. Christian took on Sheamus in a Memphis street fight. Sheamus wins the match. Big Show and Daniel Bryan, they took on Batista and Randy Orton. They get the Duke. They get the victory. And that's how Raw goes off the air. But ultimately, first, let's go back. Let's go back to a huge moment in Raw history, where it just, everything that they did, it worked. This past Monday Night Raw was possibly the best Raw ever in the history of Raw. And I'm going on record right now to say that I'm putting this past week's Monday Night Raw edition, I'm putting it up there with the Steve Austin, with the Rock, with the Shawn Michaels. You know, all the great era moments in Raw history, that kind of the same thing that Paul Heyman talked about during his promo. But I can tell you that nobody saw this coming. I didn't believe it. Remember how I said last year that every time Vince McMahon operates a storyline from reality that's really going on or that had happened in the past, it usually comes back and bites him on the ass. Because I was shocked when Daniel Bryan came out and he said he wasn't going to apologize. There's no reason to apologize. He's not leaving until he gets what he wants and what he wants. And Triple H at WrestleMania, and if he beats Triple H, they will have to change it into a triple threat match. Because, hey, Batista and Randy Orton, they didn't like that idea at all. But Daniel Bryan, you know, I was, like, watching it, and he goes, I'm not leaving, and neither are these people. I've got a whole bunch of friends here tonight. He's like, I want all the people involved with the Yes Movement to please come out here right now. Right now, come on. And Triple H, you can stop us if you want, but you're not going to stop us. You're not even going to move a single person from this ring or from this arena. And a whole band of people had just showed up. They were all wearing Daniel Bryan shirts. That was so beautifully done. Well done. Well done by WWE. I usually bash them for the way they make a mockery out of the show and try and insult our intelligence when we already know what they know. And it was great, though. It was funny when Triple H said, you know what? I'm going to have security remove all of you, and then they're going to take you out too, Daniel Bryan, from my ring. Now get out. But when he did call security, there was only two members of the security team. Where was WWE security, like JBL had mentioned? Where was the Memphis police? And then, of course, later on during the show, during the main event, you heard JBL accusing Jerry Lawler of being behind this whole thing, why Memphis police didn't show up that Triple H had called, why everybody that Triple H had called didn't show up. He said, you were behind this. Jerry Lawler, of course, saying that I have no clue what you're talking about. This just happened to be my hometown. He said, yeah, you know a lot of people. And, of course, they start the bickering like a bunch of little girls from third grade. But still, it was great. The best Raw ever. The reason why I said that, do you know who's in charge? Do you really know who's in charge? Sure, it's Vince McMahon. It's his company still. Behind the scenes. But it's everybody next to Vince McMahon that's actually in charge. All the road agents, all the writers, they're the ones that put this shit in Vince McMahon's ear. And in light of all this, everything still happens that puts WWE in a bad, bad way. I mean, ever since 2010, everything that they've done, well, actually, it dates back further than that. This all started, they got this idea, somebody got this idea, Bruce Pritchard at the time, who was now in TNA, but it was Bruce Pritchard who told Vince McMahon, why don't we just rig the whole thing, rig the system, that way the fans won't know what we're doing at all. And bring some solace to the show, bring some gravity and respect to it by just playing the Muppets hand. Said, ah, we can use that as a way to make the crowd feel like they are all in on this, because they are. And they related that to the whole 9/11 attack. But then after that happened, people started seeing what they were doing storyline-wise with that. And they quickly had to drop that storyline. Other storylines include the severity of an Olympian in 2009 who seriously got hurt, and they went off and did a storyline about that on SmackDown back in 2009. Because they said, well, it's just a joke, you know. We understand people really do get hurt. which led to a very young and up-and-coming personality in WWE, whose career was tandemly cut short when they tried to do the exact same thing. Who are you, the producers of Jackass now? Don't even get me started on that. I don't even like those Jackass movies. They're pathetic, redundant. That's almost as stupid as watching Beavis and Butthead. Or something else to that magnitude. You know what I mean? And it's just all these other things. I mean, and then, of course, in 2010, after we found out that the XFL that Vince McMahon created had failed, you know, the severity of that actually started when it was Vince McMahon himself who was doing commentary on Raw as a guest with Jesse Ventura back then. We all remember that. He was the one that brought up the whole XFL thing. And then people just squashed it. Not the people in the company. Not the people producing it. The fans did. And they did it by not watching anymore. And he lost ratings for about a good 3-4 weeks. See, so there's a whole number of ways that shit like this can backfire. Would that be funny? I appreciate Daniel Bryan when he said, okay, well, if you want us out of here, we'll take the ring with us. Or we'll get our own ring, we'll set it up in the parking lot, and you can do Raw with an empty arena. And you can refund the people, too. Which is why it all comes back to what I said earlier, hence the word shoot promo. But that's a real out-of-place significance, okay? And you'll hear about last night's Impact Wrestling immediately after this.
Hey, you there. Yes, you. I'm talking to you. Would you like to hear the best interviews, the most fun, and the best in wrestling? Then join Eric Williams and the Golden Cravat Wrestling Show every Thursday night right here on NDB Media 2. Why? Because as Eric Williams always says, 2 is better than 1. Check him out every Thursday night at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. That, of course, is 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for those of you that live here on the West Coast like me. So check him out every Thursday night. You will not regret it. Join the Golden Cravat Wrestling Show Thursday night on NDB Media 2.
Bye. sleep and sail off in the night. We'll come clean and start over the rest of our lives. When we're gone, we'll stay gone, out of sight, out of mind. It's not too late. We have the rest of our lives.
And we are back right here on the Fourth Opinion Show. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you know, TNA wrestling last night, for the most part, once again, did not deliver. They had delivered at the lockdown pay-per-view. Because if they had, then things would be blowing up, so to speak. Like I said, everything is about change, and it's about making the product and the productivity, the whole installation of the company, better. And as I said earlier during our wrestling news segment, that, hey, maybe with the new... maybe with the new backstage agents calling the shots now, yes, Dick DeCarter is still in charge, but maybe with the way the new backstage agents will handle everything, it's not going to save the company, but they could change the product and make it better productivity-wise. But they are still not delivering what they should be delivering. Samoa Joe took on Abyss. Abyss won by disqualification. Brittany took on Gail Kim. Of course, Brittany won. The Bromance versus Sanda and Tyra. Tyra Uno. They win the match. They also, just like WWE, they also had a street fight. Anderson versus Samuel Shaw. Anderson wins. This is all over Christy Hemme and the way that she's been treated, and Anderson wants Samuel Shaw to leave her alone. Willow came out and took on Rockstar Spud. Rockstar Spud emphatically wins the match. Willow is, of course, you know, the alter ego from back in his independent days, played by Jeff Hardy. So there was a slew of significance being rendered by what everybody else actually takes into effect. And people want reality. People want the truth. Which is just what ECW had created. But now you don't get that anymore. Well, unless if you're Dana White in charge of the UFC. Here's a fun fact for this long 4-day weekend. take into consideration that it was released earlier this week. For those of you that follow UFC, I know our very own DDP does. He said, here's a fact that GSP will return. And you say, GSP, what the hell is that? Did Dana White mean GPS? No, he wasn't talking about GPS. He wasn't talking about GPS systems or anything. GSP is the short name for George St. Pierre, who Dana White believes and is confident that George St. Pierre will return at some point to UFC. What do you think of that, DDP? Do you think George St. Pierre will return? I know people always say, well, that guy has a mean right hook. Well, that guy has a mean left hook. George St. Pierre has mean hooks on both hands. It doesn't matter. But anyway, the whole infrastructure of who's actually in charge, everyone is trying to be on top in many different ways. I mean, you heard me mention earlier who the new group is, the new backstage agents in charge of TNA now. Because what this is it's its own camaraderie between WWE, TNA, ROH, and all the other wrestling companies out there, including, you know, the independent show that I'm going to tomorrow night off the coast of the California waters, so to speak. I mean, hey, because let's quickly do this then, since we still have 20 minutes left. I didn't think we would get to it, but we are. We're going to get to what took place at Lockdown. 2014's TNA Lockdown pay-per-view. You could tell that they tried way too hard for everything about the show, right? Right, DDP? I mean, Mike Tenay was starting off the show, and he starts doing commentary. Next thing you know, Mike Tenay, of course, tried to act like they were doing their own shoot promos as well. Like I said, everybody in the wrestling business is trying to get into the shoot promos from the 90s. Promotions are trying to bring that back because they see what the UFC is doing. UFC and the MMA style of fighting, no promoter or wrestling organization is going to admit it, but they're getting their ass kicked by these MMA and UFC companies coming up because they are actually the ones actually doing shoot promos. Dana White's not handing his talent a script and saying, well, say this on TV. No, he's saying, say what you feel. Say what you feel, and that's all we need. Whether it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes, people will buy our tickets. So Mike Tenay's like, welcome, everyone, welcome. And he's welcoming you to this pay-per-view. And then he's like, wait a minute, how come the camera's not on me anymore? What's going on here? And the camera peers around, and here comes Taz. Oh, Taz! Wow! Have a seat. Join us. Join me, please, at the broadcast table. It's been a while since I've seen you. Like, that's a real bad way to do a shoot promo. Anyway, they were broadcasting the pay-per-view live from the University of Miami. And we go to Christy Hemming, who's inside the steel cage. No, she wasn't going to compete in a steel cage match. She was doing the ring introduction for Kazarian Daniels and Chris Sabin. They took on the Great Muta, newest talent, Sanda and Yatsu. And they're actually focusing on the younger talent. They want to help the young talent grow with the company up in their own athletic ways. Well, gee, Dixie Carter, gee, TNA. It's just now, remember that door of opportunity that I was talking about back in January? Or even last month when I said they got to wake up and smell the coffee. It took them this long, them almost 180 days to finally figure out that sure, we need to focus on the Hulk Hogan's of the world that come into our company here at TNA. But we also have to look out for, and I'll use his name as an example, we've got to focus on the young guys. We've got to focus on the Mikey Whipwrecks of the world, who may be new, but they know how to fight. They really know how to fight. They care a lot about the business. Here comes Kazarian and Daniels. They were sort of dressed up old school. They even had the same trunks as the Great Muta, kind of mocking him and just totally embarrassing him. And their third partner, Chris Sabin. And they quickly reminded everybody that, well, Sandin's win over Austin Aries was in Japan a few weeks ago. Well, did you have any footage of that or anything like that? No, they didn't. See what I mean? It's all about really who is really in charge. We know that Dixie Carter is really in charge of TNA. We know that Vince McMahon is really still very much alive and in charge, even though he's not on television, but still. Yes, these people are in charge. But it's the people behind them. Vince McMahon still has Michael Haynes in his damn ear, coming up with all these other stupid gimmicks and things that they used to do. It was all Michael P.S. Hayden's fault. That's why they demoted him, because they realized we're not getting any ratings, we're not getting any merchandise being done by because of what he did storyline-wise being the head writer. That's why they demoted him as head writer 2 years ago. Remember that? Sabin steps out with Sanda, and they trade holds and wrist locks and arm bars. It was great. More blocks and counters set to come into the match. Later on down the match, Muta spits his green mist into the air to a big pop from the crowd. Takes back in with Kazarian for a two count, as opposed to Tatsu. You know, I remember Yoshihiro Tajiri doing the green mist. Everybody thinks that once something happens, that the next person in charge is going to say, well, that's done, it's over with. But really, they find ways, promoters or people around the promoter, will find new ways to still use it. They'll give it to somebody else. Bad influence, it ended up turning it around on them. This came down to Sanda and Yoshu making comebacks. Sanda tagged in as Muta hit the shining wizard on Daniels. You know, people are getting behind this whole Shining Wizards move that they're doing in wrestling. But Sanda nailed the moonsault on Daniels for the win. So your winners are Sanda, Yatsu, and the Great Muta. Then, of course, Dixie Carter came out, and people booed her, and she did a cutthroat merciless promo on LeBron James and the Miami Heat. She even accused the fans of how ugly they looked for dressing up, coming like that the way they were dressed to her company. Ah, boy. She said she's going to get some revenge and guarantee that her team would win thanks to Jeff Hardy breaching his contract by walking out. And she said she's made sure that security won't let him in. Anyway, Samuel Shaw took on Mr. Anderson at the pay-per-view. Samuel Shaw is the winner. You know, they did a lot of other representations of what they thought would be good to put on a pay-per-view. Then we got a Kenny King return vignette, letting the world know that he's coming back. Anyways, Manic versus Tajir Uno. Tajir Uno is the winner of that match. And we had a last man standing match, Gunner versus James Storm. Gunner is the winner. They just used it as a quick thing just to get it out of the way. Because Dixie Carter and those close to her really didn't want these two wrestling each other. They said that it makes them look bad. How does Gunner and James Storm wrestling each other make you look bad? Give me a break. Politics 101. Maybe 102? I don't know. You get what I'm saying. Anyways, the Knockouts title match. The Knockouts title was on the line. Gail Kim taking on Madison Rayne. Lady Tapa came out, and you know how the rule has always been that there's no way into these cage matches. Well, Lady Tapa came out there, and she just the door off the hinge, and she opened the door so Gail Kim could escape. Later on in the match, Lady Tapa got knocked down off the other side of the cage, thanks to Madison Rayne kicking her off. Madison then hit Gail Kim with a spear from the top of the cage for the win. So Madison Rayne is your new women's champion. Knockout champion. That's what they like better. Samoa Joe versus Magnus for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. Long and short of it is, Magnus got the win. And, see, I don't know why they treated this like TV. Pay-per-view is supposed to be all about the pay-per-view. It's about the action in the ring. The little political BS and the backstage vignettes, the boring ones, should be used for television purposes only, not on a pay-per-view. But nonetheless, she is back there with Rockstar Spud, and she gets on the phone, and she's like, you're my insurance company. You're supposed to get this done and taken care of for me. And you haven't done that. Wow. But then somebody on the phone said, don't worry, Mrs. Carter. We're just now arriving at the building. She tells Rockstar Spud, look for my insurance agent guides and bring them here to my office, okay? Jay Lethal was in a lockdown match. MVP Jeff Hardy and the Wolves versus Bobby Roode, Austin Aries, and the Bromance. And of course, JB had to go over the whole rules about this whole lockdown match. The Lethal lockdown match itself, that took a whole 5 minutes to render the rules. Since I already ran down everything that happened on TNA Impact last night, you know that what really happened at the pay-per-view, that in the end, Team MVP won the match. That's it. They truly won the match. That's the way it goes. What games are we playing? Who are you working for that you really want to help and you really care about a business that you're into or a passion that you have? Yet people are saying, well, shut that down. That's not going to work. And it's stuff like this that comes from the upper management people or people in charge. What you know will work, they don't believe it, but you say it will. Custard of this is about you have to know who's in charge. And what I mean by that is just tell people, give me the ball and I'll run with it. Because, hey, Tommy Dreamer is the one that motioned for everybody else to be a part of this new agency that they've got backstage. So Tommy Dreamer is in charge along with these other people now. And they believe that they can make it better. I hope to God they can. That's up to them, though. But, ladies and gentlemen, like I always say, thank you very much for being here, for joining us right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Will we be here next week? Will I be here next week? You always have to tune in and find out what we have up our sleeve. Take care, and we'll see you all next week. Peace. I'm out of here.
Heading to the top rope, and he's in it. Frogsplash! Frogsplash! Come on!
He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that, what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it, because it's a tough business.
Terrific. What, is that all you got? I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Sports Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves, and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.